You are once more tuned in to the Cult It or Can It podcast. We apologize for our few week hiatus there. I've been going through grad school, and I went through the graduation ceremony, and it took a little bit of time to finish up my classes because I had some presentations and things of that nature, but we are back today, and my special guest host will once again be...
Emma.
Emma making her fourth appearance on the podcast? I think fourth.
Fourth.
Okay, and Emma, you might want to talk a little bit closer to the mic on the laptop. You might want to put it on your lap.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she is on my laptop right now because she is home visiting our mom for Mother's Day. So we are actually recording from the same house, the very house in which we grew up. Today we're going to talk about the 1995 film Heavyweights, which is a Disney comedy film, believe it or not. It's directed by Stephen Brill, and it was also produced by Judd Apatow, who people might know from movies like Knocked Up and The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Funny People. And he's also a very prolific comedy producer. Produces movies. He produced Superbad, produced like Drillbit Taylor. He produces like 5-6 movies a year. He produced Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story. So he's a very, very prolific comedy director in Hollywood. And I believe that this was one of his first motion picture production credits. I believe he worked primarily in television up until this point. Who are the stars of this movie, Emma?
Well, Ben Stiller. His father, Jerry.
It's more of a cameo, but yeah, he's in it.
Also his mother.
And Mira, from the comedy team, Stiller and Mira.
See, who else is in it?
Aaron Schwartz plays the lead character, who is a boy named Gerald Garner. And his father is actually played by Jeffrey Tambor, who audiences might remember.
Oh, yes.
From Arrested Development.
Yep.
And then also one of the lead characters is a man by the name of Tom McGowan. He's a character actor. He appears every once in a while. He'll pop up in something. He had a recurring character on Everybody Loves Raymond and a recurring character on Frasier as well. And he'll pop up, but he was in Ghost World. Every once in a while, you'll see him pop up in a movie. He plays a man by the name of Pat Finley, who is one of the head camp counselors. Heavyweights. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who is now skinny?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong, but I think he's lost weight.
Oh, it's possible. I don't know. I haven't seen him in anything in a long time. The last thing that I saw him in was Everybody Loves Raymond, which has actually been off the air for like 5 years now, believe it or not. This is a film that takes place in North Carolina at a summer camp for heavyset boys, hence the title Heavyweights. And basically, the rundown of the plot is that 11-year-old overweight middle schooler Gerald Garner is sent away for the summer against his will. And once he gets to the camp, he realizes, hey, it's going to be okay. There are a lot of cool kids around, including such people as Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live, which is kind of interesting to see him. He comes to find out that, hey, it might not be so bad. But then we find out that the camp is actually being sold to the psychotic Tony Perkis, who's played by Ben Stiller. And then the camp becomes kind of a living nightmare, a living hell for all the young boys, as Tony tries to do all these alternative methods and weird methods and extreme methods for getting them to lose weight so that he can sell a diet and weight loss infomercial videotape. And wacky hijinks ensue. Emma, we should talk a little bit about maybe the first time that we saw this movie. This is a movie that you and I used to watch a lot when we were kids growing up.
You can still catch it on the Disney Channel every once in a while.
A somewhat edited version.
Yeah. Again, this is a summer camp movie, so naturally me and Zach are drawn to it.
Yeah, we love summer camp movies like Meatballs.
Yeah.
This is a movie that we come back to every once in a while, you know, every couple of years, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a good movie.
There's a lot of, like, little goofy comedy bits in it. On the surface, it's a kid's movie, but it's also a Judd Apatow and Ben Stiller movie, so... There are like flourishes of subversive comedy here and there, and just enough to kind of keep your interest and keep you laughing if you're an adult watching this movie. There's a lot of hilarious stuff that goes on in it. There's like parodies of the movie Platoon, for example, that are in there that you wouldn't see in like a normal kids movie. It's almost like a Pixar movie in that respect. Like, it's for kids, but there's a lot of stuff that adults can enjoy as well.
The true family movie. Whereas the kids enjoy it, and so do the parents, or whoever's watching it.
Right.
With the kids.
I first saw this movie in the theaters in my hometown, actually, in the first run theater. And I don't remember the exact circumstances, because I was only about 12 years old, so it's been about, 15 years? Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Since this came out, but I went with a couple of friends, and I had no idea what to expect because I don't remember seeing any commercials for it or anything. And I remember walking away from it and being like super pleased with it. Like I just thought it was really clever and really funny. And I was a pretty heavy-set kid, so it kind of spoke to me as well as a kid. And there are some pretty good messages strewn about through the film about, you know, like accepting yourself for who you are, you know, and it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's what's on the inside that counts. There's a lot of typical traditional children's messages in this film, but it's also a very, very funny film. So, Emma, why don't you talk about some of your favorite parts of it?
You know, Gerald Garner, the 11-year-old boy that's the main character, he gets to the camp and, you know, he's kind of skittish about it. And then he meets all these people and, you know, he's having a good time. And he's thinking, yeah, this camp is, you know, it could be fun. It's going to be good. And then Tony Perkis takes over and all the kids are just so let down. And that's just a really good scene. Because you're thinking, oh, man, what's going to happen to these kids?
And there's that big kid, and he's crying. He's like, yeah. Congratulations, you're the fattest boy in camp, that kid. Yeah. Sims was his name.
Sims, yeah. They went from, like, this really good environment, you know, where everything's good, and then Tony Perkis comes in, and it's just the exact opposite. These kids are just crushed.
I think that one of the things, Emma, that you and I, one of the things that we just crack up at, like Fred Willard is one of them. You and I, every time we see him, we just crack up.
But love Fred Willard.
Jerry Stiller is another one.
Yeah, he is. He's been good and he will continue to be good.
Yeah, when he's in that there in the beginning and he's talking about, like, never let anybody else sign your checks, like, I'm just dying laughing. And when I was a kid and I saw this, I knew him from Seinfeld. Like, I didn't understand. I didn't know that he was Ben Stiller's father because I didn't really know who Ben Stiller was because I was only like 12 and he wasn't really that popular. He didn't get really that popular until There's Something About Mary. Like, he didn't cross over into the mainstream, which was a few years later. So, like, I knew who Jerry Stiller was because of Seinfeld, so that was funny to me as a kid. But now, like, watching it as an adult, it's even funnier because, like, the woman that he's with is his real-life wife, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie is when they've got all their food and all their candy and they're all hiding it in all the places.
Oh, yeah, that's a good scene, too.
Yeah, it's like all these fat kids, they've got, like, you know, just, like, thousands and thousands of pieces of candy and Oreo cookies and salamis.
Yeah.
The kid says, can you get these salamis off my back? And he's got a couple of salamis duct taped to his back.
They're sneaking all this food in camp. And then later, there's a scene where Tony Perkis and his crew go through each one of the cabins and confiscate all this candy.
And there's a hilarious part where he's patting down one of the black campers who's Kenan Thompson. And it's kind of a parody of, like, a, you know, like the cops picking on a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's patting him down and he sees he finds a Pez dispenser shoved in his sock and he says, my man's packing. And he opens up the Pez dispenser to let the candy out, and when the candy hits the floor, it's the sound of bullets hitting the floor. And it's really hilarious. As you can expect, things go wrong at the camp because this psychotic Tony Perkis, again played by Ben Stiller, is in charge. Ben Stiller kind of went on to play the same role again in Dodgeball. He plays almost the exact same character.
Yeah.
With a different name, obviously, because it's a different movie, but he plays this, you know, psychotic fitness workout guru instructor type of guy that no one can stand to be around for more than a couple of minutes. What happens is Perkis becomes super angry at the boys because they're just not losing weight. They've been sneaking, like, McDonald's and Burger King into camp and stuff like that. So he's going to take them on this 20-mile hike. A 20-mile hike. That's obviously a long way to go, especially for kids who are very clearly out of shape. And they're hiking through the mountains of North Carolina, so the Appalachian Mountains or whatever they are over there. I don't know. The kids eventually trap Tony Perkis and kind of turn the camp into their own, like, Lord of the Flies style.
Yeah, they revolt and they take over. Oh, we should mention about the camp across the lake, too.
Oh, the athletic kids camp?
Yeah. It's like the total opposite of these kids. They're all fit and athletic and sporty. And at the end of every summer, they have, like, a decathlon kind of competition.
Every good summer camp movie has to have a rival summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work without it.
Yeah.
And this one's no exception. These kids are all, like, super athletic, baseball players, you know, jocks, you know, sports enthusiasts. And they, throughout the movie, they're seen, like, driving their motorboats by the fat kids' camp and, like, hurling insults at them and...
vandalizing, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah, vandalizing them with spray paint and things like that. And then by the end of the movie, after Tony Perkis is let off, you know, to the crazy house or wherever he's going, the head camp counselor, who previously to this point had been kind of like, had like low self-esteem and didn't really believe in himself, who was played by Tom McGowan, he takes over the camp. He kind of steps up and says, you know, he'll take over for the rest of the year. And the boys begin to, you know, believe in themselves, and they're going to take on the athletic kids in their, what did you call it, a decathlon?
Decathlon, I don't know what it's really called.
We'll call it a decathlon.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny because they've got all these different events, you know, and there's even a hall of academics and stuff like that. It's just like what you would see in a typical summer camp movie from the 70s, late 70s and early 80s. From a movie like Poison Ivy or Meatballs. Not Poison Ivy, the softcore porn movie. Poison Ivy, the Michael J. Fox summer camp movie.
And at the very end, the camp heavyweights takes a win with epic go-kart race.
Yeah, that's actually a really well-filmed and well-directed go-kart race as well. It's very professionally done, and it looks like they actually spent some time with it. Stephen Brill is the director of this film, and he's probably best known for being a pretty good friend of Adam Sandler. He directed a lot of Adam Sandler movies. He also directed Without a Paddle, the movie with Seth Green and Matthew Lillard. Yeah, so he's not really known for making, like, you know, real highbrow arty stuff, but I gotta say that go-kart scene, that actually kind of gets my blood pumping a little bit when I watch it.
It's a good scene. And you want heavyweights to win, too, so there's another part of it, too.
Yeah, there's a whole, you know, root for the underdog type of aesthetic.
Yeah.
Going on with this film. And I think we're kind of, like, downplaying the sheer batshit insanity of Ben Stiller's character.
Oh, he's crazy. He's batshit crazy.
He wants the kids to do things like lay down on a bed of nails and, like, have a block of ice broken on their stomach. You know, like, typical things you'd see from, like, a martial arts training film.
He's absolutely extreme.
And he's, like, he's out of his head, too. Like, he's crazy. And didn't he say that, said in the film that he grew up overweight, like 400 pounds and alone because, like, nobody ever took care of him or looked after him? And he wants the kids to call him Uncle Tony, stuff like that. There's one camper who stands up to him by the name of Josh. Yeah, he's the heavyset Italian one. I think he's Italian or Jewish or something.
He's been in a few other movies, too.
Yeah, he pops up every now and then.
Yeah.
He was in a couple episodes of King of Queens, actually, as well. And he kind of he goes toe to toe with Tony Perkis, and the next day he's gone, all his stuff's gone, the bed's like completely stripped, and there's like all these rumors about what happened to Josh.
Yeah.
And the cafeteria worker.
Did you hear about Josh?
Oh yeah, he's dead.
Dead. And then he ends up coming back, and he acts like a zombie, like he had a lobotomy, and he kicks everyone out. And then he says that he went to an all-you-can-eat buffet and he closed the place.
He closed the place. Because apparently his dad is a lawyer, so his dad threatened to sue Tony Perkis. And he got back in. But I love that with that cafeteria worker. Sorry to hear about your little friend, Josh. he's dead.
That's the thing about this movie. There's all those little quirky scenes that really get you. Beyond the main idea of the movie, there's all these little quirky scenes that really crack you up.
You can tell that there are a lot of Judd Apatow touches throughout the film. There's a lot of that humor that's definitely more pointed, more for adults, more sophisticated. And I don't want to oversell that, because it's like it's here and there. I mean, this is very, very, by and large, a family movie. I mean, we're not talking about, like, Apocalypse Now or something like that. It's not, you know, a profound film by any means. It doesn't have, you know, very poignant things to say about society and so forth. But every here and there and every now and then, there's a little piece of, like, dark humor or understated subtle humor that just, it really makes the film worth watching.
How about towards the end, after Tony Perkis, the kids actually capture him before he gets arrested by the cops, and They keep him in this cage. And
with the bug zapper hooked up to it.
Yeah, and then the kids just go crazy themselves. I mean, they've been suppressed for, you know, the duration of the summer. And then now they have this freedom, and they just go crazy with candy and food and going wild. And that's when Pat, the counselor, he kind of steps up and decides to be the leader. I think that's a really good scene, too. The kids just come to this realization that, you know, that
They need to do it for themselves because no one's going to do it for them. You know, they've been under lock and key all summer long, and when the key is thrown away, they go crazy, like you said. They put Twinkies in their pizza.
They're like dancing in chocolate syrup and stuff.
Yeah, and marshmallows and s'mores and stuff. And it's like this, it's like a Lord of the Flies type, you know, breakdown of society, of culture.
Yeah.
And then Pat gets them to understand that if they don't help themselves, no one's going to help them. Which I think is a lesson that is largely lost on children today.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not always going to have somebody there to help you out with everything. Some things you do need to do on your own and by yourself, you know. Like that time that I changed my tire.
Yeah. And I just think that Pat is just what these kids needed.
Yeah.
Somebody in their life to kind of, it's just like them, but just somebody that's in a good example for them. And the kids really take to Pat, especially Gerald Garner.
Yeah, age 11.
To where his father, you know, it's his father, and he's kind of hard on him, and there is a good relationship there. But I think Pat just fills this void in Gerald Garner's life, where he's always been the fat kid, he's always been made fun of, and then he gets to this camp and he finds people that are just like him, and it's really comforting for him, I think.
Yeah, there's a point where Tony Perkis humiliates Pat, and then Pat, you know, and he's so like sullen, you can just feel for the guy. And he just says, I'm just tired of being the fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, you know, like, I was a pretty heavy set kid. I'm still a pretty heavy guy, but, you know, not like I was when I was younger. And I can just remember, like, you know, empathizing with that character so much. Like, people just, you know, look down on the heavy set kids, you know, and make fun of them. And this is a film, this is where the heavy set kids, the heavyweights, kind of get their revenge, in a way.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not even just it doesn't even just touch people that were heavy. I mean, just growing up's hard, you know. For any kid, they have their, you know, whatever's different about them.
And yeah, absolutely.
You know, there are other people like you out there.
I like when Pat is pushing Jerry around on the go-karts. Where the motors have been taken off of him. Because all Jerry wanted to do was ride the go-karts.
Yeah.
That's all he wanted to do. There's a pretty common theme throughout this movie of like children seeking understanding father figures and children wanting attention from their fathers, because like you said, Jerry doesn't really have a bad relationship with his father, but his father is definitely, you know, an authoritative and kind of unfeeling figure in a lot of ways, and has kind of the wrong lessons, teaches his kid kind of the wrong lessons. Like when he just punches Tony Perkis and says, you got to stand up for yourself or something like that. But he does it in the wrong way. You know, he does it like through force, and that's not really what Jerry needs to hear. You know, Jerry needs to build self-confidence so that he can do something, you know, his own way. And then there's the Tony Perkis, the whole, you know, him being abandoned by his father.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when his father comes to pick him up after he's gone completely crazy,
it's Ben Stiller too.
It's Ben Stiller in an old man costume, and he's like, "My father."
It's hilarious.
My father never hugged me. You don't see me freaking out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jerry looking to Pat for a father figure as well. So that's kind of a common theme throughout the film, and probably a common theme throughout a couple of Judd Apatow films as well. It's definitely there in Drillbit Taylor, the need of a paternal figure for growing boys, and I would even say that it's there in Funny People as well, with Adam Sandler's character, you know, not having a very good relationship with his father, and then Seth Rogen's character kind of looking up to Adam Sandler as kind of a fatherly figure. So it seems to be even Dewey Cox.
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't have a very good relationship with his father, so it seems to be a pretty a pretty common theme throughout the Judd Apatow productions.
But I think at the end there, when Gerald Garner's dad does punch Tony Perkis, I think that Jerry really was proud of that because his father actually stood up for him for once instead of criticizing him, not believing him. So finally, he saw the big picture, you know.
You're right about that. You know, we don't get to see a lot of Jerry's father, but the little we do see of him, he seems kind of like unfeeling and ununderstanding, you know. He's kind of, I don't know if you could say he's kind of embarrassed by his son, but he's maybe a little disappointed or let down by his son in a couple of ways. Because, like, we see Gerald, he is kind of a pathetic kid. Like, he couldn't even throw the baseball over the fence at the beginning.
Yeah.
Most kids of any size should be able to do that with ease, you know. This film, we should say, this film got pretty good reviews when it came out. It did not do well at the box office at all. But it currently has an 87% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a pretty high number for a film on Rotten Tomatoes. And you almost wouldn't think that when you would think about this movie, because it is kind of like a family comedy, kids comedy, like yet another in a long line of like forgotten Disney films aimed at like preteens.
Yeah.
But it got pretty good reviews.
But anybody that you know is around my age, I mean, they absolutely adore this movie.
Yeah, I never met anybody that's like, how old are you? You're 23, 24?
23, yeah.
I've never met anybody from the ages of like 23 to about 29, which is 2 years older than I am, who number one, hasn't seen this movie, and number two, doesn't like it. Everybody I know has seen this, whether they saw it on video or whether they saw it on the Disney Channel when they were kids.
I think it was a staple for growing up in the 90s.
I think so, too. But this didn't come out too long after another Disney film, which I revisited a few years ago, which was the total opposite of this movie. It was totally horrible, and that was Blank Check, if you've ever seen Blank Check.
I like all those movies.
There's a whole, and like, That Darn Cat. There's like a whole bunch of like forgotten live-action Disney movies from the 90s.
This is by far the best one, but don't get me wrong, I like all those movies too.
Yeah, they have their charm, you know, but...
Just because you grow up watching them as a kid, you know?
Well, that's the same way that I feel about the Fred Savage vehicle, The Wizard.
Oh, yeah, Wizard's awesome.
Which we need to cover sometime on Cult or Can It.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because it also stars Jenny Lewis.
Yeah, I love Jenny Lewis.
I know you like her, so we should do that one sometime. So we should probably go ahead and wrap this up, don't you think?
Alrighty, yep.
So, Emma, would you cult this or would you can it?
I would cult this just because it's held up for me for so long.
Mm-hmm. It's been 15 years since this came out.
And I watch it today, and it's timeless to me. It's still funny.
Yeah, I'll cult it as well. And I actually think it's one of those comedies where every time you watch it, you notice something a little bit different that you never noticed before.
Uh-huh.
And this is something that I've probably seen 25 times.
Yeah, I always go back to this movie. It's like a treat when I watch it every time.
It really is. I mean, I bought the DVD a couple years ago, really cheap, for like $5. I found it in like one of those $5 bins, I think.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, I grabbed it. I had to buy it because I'd never seen it like on DVD before. And then when I got it, I think I put it on. I think at some point it was on in my player, like every day for like the first 2 weeks that I had it. Well, Emma, you want to wrap things up?
All right.
Okay, so once again, we thank you for listening to the Cult It or Can It podcast. You can check out our blog at cultitorcanit.blogspot.com. Feel free to leave us some comments. Feel free to leave us some suggestions for films you'd like to see in the future. So for my co-host,
Emma,
I am your host, Zach, saying thank you once again for listening to the podcast.
Bye-bye. Boobies.